Good evening. I am grateful to be with you this evening. If you may please then turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, we shall read together from verse 1 to 6. Galatians chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 1 to 6, but we shall spend our time then in verse 4. I'm using the ESV. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. When I was 14 years old, I had a friend who was of my age, and this young man could not swim. It's a true story. One afternoon, I think it was after school, this young man took his friends and they crossed over a river and went to the other side to see other friends. Later on, when they came back, this young man, he slipped and fell into the water. Then he began to drown. His friends stood there far and started to clap hands, saying, "Now you must learn to swim." But the boy began to sink. As he lost his breath, by God's grace, there was a man passing by who saw what was taking place. And immediately this man dived into the water and rescued this young man. A few months later, the young man decided to go and teach himself how to swim. And in his personal training, he realized that his problem was actually simple. He could not float in the water. He could not float on the water equally, so his upper body could float, but his lower body was forever sinking. So this young man decided to have a plan. So he went out and he got himself one of those swim jackets, you know, those swim jackets which got air inside. So he came and said, "Now I've got a plan." Then what he did, he took this swim jacket and he put it around his legs. Because remember now, when he swims, he's not equal in the water. So what he wanted to do was to help his forever sinking legs that they may float equally with his body. So this young man jumped into the water and he began to drown. He began to sink and there was no one there to help him. As he was drowning, he started to realize that he made a very foolish decision. He began to drown. As he was at the point of death, he got his hands to a branch of a tree that was hanging to the water so deep. So he held on this branch of that tree and he came up. And he was saved by a tree. Nice story. We can learn many things from this story. But there are a few things that are, maybe one or two things that I must mention, is that this young man was first saved by a mere man. And then he continued in his foolishness. He had all the supplies that he needed. He had the jacket that could help him to float on the water. But he still sank and he drowned until he was rescued by a tree. Is it not amazing that many today, they do hear the word of God preached to them. They do have their own Bibles. They carry their own Bibles. They read their own Bibles. But yet, they are still sinking in their sins. And this will continue forever until they are saved by a tree. That is what I want to remind you this evening. That is what I want to declare to you this evening. That Christ gave himself for our sin, that we may behold the man upon the cross. What I like about the few verses of this epistle to the Galatians is that they're telling us who the Savior is. So they're telling us who the Savior is, what he has done, how he has done this, and why he has done that. So Paul begins by saying that God the Father and God the Son, they appointed him, Paul, they appointed him together for the gospel. So God the Father and God the Son, they appoint Paul together for the gospel. Then Paul, he continues then, he says then, both the Father and the Son, they work our salvation. Paul speaks first, he speaks of the grace and the peace that comes from God and that comes from the Son. If you read from the upper verses before we get to verse 4, then he jumps straight to the news of deliverance. It speaks of our salvation, which is our focus this evening. So as we think of that 14-year-old boy who drowned because of foolishness, we must also think of that other man who dived in and rescued this young man. I believe that the Apostle Paul is actually writing this epistle to a people who have been saved, but now sinking. They are sinking now because they have moved their focus from the real thing. So now he begins by reminding them of the grace of God, by reminding them of the saving grace that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is writing to such Christians. He's actually calling them foolish Galatians at times, because now they are acting as though they are bewitched. They are acting as though they have not believed in Christ before. Though they are being rescued by the gospel, they are being rescued by the power of the gospel, but now they've allowed false teachers to creep in into the church and deceive them. And now they are deserting the very same gospel that saved them. They are rejecting the doctrine of justification by faith. Now they are preaching some kind of a gospel that sounds like they say God helps those who help themselves, while the scripture is very clear that God helps those who cannot help themselves. So as they are sinking to rise no more, as they are drowning, before they drown completely, Paul is writing to them. He's giving them sort of a branch of a tree that they may hold on to that and climb up, that they may begin to breathe and see things clearly. So Paul is reminding them of the rescue mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to work with Paul this evening, reminding us of this rescue mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, reminding you of the gospel that saves us. Reminding you of the gospel that continue to save people. Reminding you of the grace of God that we have received through Christ Jesus, our Savior. So that we may sing together then the words of the Apostle John, saying, behold, what manner of life the Father has bestowed upon us, that we may be called the sons, the daughters of God. Behold, the manner of love, that we may not now continue in our rebellion towards God, that we may not continue in our rejection of the truth. Behold, the manner of love, that we may not continue then in our independent living from God. So first, in these words that we have just read this evening, I'm used to teach in the morning, so I say morning even in the evening. I hope you understand. But then in these words, in this verse, especially verse 4, the Apostle Paul begins by saying, first, what we're going to look at, Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. And I'm aware that most of us this evening, they are aware of the fact that Christ died for our sins. But it is possible that this truth about Christ's ultimate sacrifice at the cross, it is maybe forgotten in our lives. So the Apostle Paul is drawing our attention to the reason of our rejoicing. The Apostle Paul draws us to the source of our salvation. He's reminding us of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He says he gave himself. So for our sins, for your sins, Christ died. That tells us first that Christ was not compelled when he died. He was not compelled by anything. Nothing pushed him. It tells that that when he hanged on that tree, he did that willingly to save us. Being able to come down from the cross, he chose to hang at the cross for our sins. Instead of calling a legion of angels, he chose to give himself for our sins. Not the sins that he committed, but our sins, sins that he did not commit. He gave himself for our sins, sins of the past, sins of the present, and sins of the future. For our sake, he chose to be condemned. He laid his life down for his sheep. That is the message the Apostle Paul is bringing to this church, reminding them, bring their focus back to the cross. So we look at these words further, we see that the Apostle Paul is also reminding the church, reminding us even this evening, that Christ died as a substitutionary atonement. We think of that sacrifice that they used to bring unto God, but God was not pleased. So the Apostle Paul is reminding the church that Christ died. He's reminding them of the work of Christ, which he did in his life and in his death to earn our salvation. May we be reminded as well this evening of Christ's obedience to the Father, living a life of obedience, living a life of righteousness, so that his righteousness may be our righteousness, so that his righteousness may be imputed unto us, that we may find peace with God. May we be reminded this evening of his suffering. Christ suffered for us. Not only at the cross, not on that cross that he suffered, but he had to walk down the streets of Jerusalem and see sin, people sinning before him. He had to cleanse the temple twice in his life, in the beginning of his ministry, at the end of his ministry. He had to cleanse the temple because the people have made the temple of God a den of robbers. He has to suffer all these things. He has to see people sinning before him. As he walked to Jerusalem, he sees Jerusalem, and he kneeled and he wept for the sins of Jerusalem. In Gethsemane, he wept for our sins. Before he drank that cup of God's wrath, he wept, weeping for the effects of sin in the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus died because of sin. Not that Lazarus was a sinner, that's why he died, but because the wages of sin is dead, physical death. Christ had to suffer to see all these things. Then he suffered at the cross. May we be reminded. That's the message of the Apostle Paul, bringing them and says, remember the man who hung at the cross. Why now will you go astray? Why now will you bring all these people who creeps into the church? Why now will you listen to everything else but not the word of God? So it reminds us of his suffering in which he put upon himself. That sinless Lamb of God made sins for us. It reminds us of the penalty of sin that was due to us. Christ dying to accomplish our salvation. The salvation of his people, those who will come to him in faith and repentance. And the writer of the Hebrews, he says, this Christ, he is the one who entered the most holy place of God once and for all, with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption, so that we may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He continues to say, the writer of Hebrews, for by a single offering, he has perfected for all times those who are being sanctified. So Christ gave himself for our sins, not only that we may be forgiven, but that we may be cleansed completely, that the stain of our sin may be removed, the pollution of sin in us, within us, that it may be wiped out, that our guilt may be removed, making us citizens of heaven, adopting us to the family of God. We know, all of us, how adoption works. The parents, they decide the child to adopt. The child has nothing to do with it. He's so small, he cannot make a decision. But the parents, because they love the child, they do what they can. They adopt the child, and he becomes one of the family. So why will you, Galatians, go astray? Why will you not focus then to the God? I'm not saying you're Galatians. I'm just reminding you of the beauty of the cross. I hope you get that. So, if Christ then gave himself for our sins, If he gave himself for my sins, I cannot help but love the cross. I cannot help but cling to the old rugged cross and crying out and says, alas, and did my sovereign die? Will he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I am? At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Was it for the crime that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. The Apostle Paul said, brethren, it is a matter of love. Brethren, you are saved by the love of God. It is God who loved the world that he gave with his only Son, so that whosoever believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. Have you forgotten that, O Galatians? It is the grace of God that you are here. He gave himself for our sins, reminding me of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I love John. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone may lay down his life for his friends. In verse number 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. So the Apostle Paul is writing to remind this church of this great and ultimate sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. And he's writing this because now they are acting as though they have not known Christ. They are acting as they have not believed before. They are continuing and be swept around and be tossed up and down by wind. Oh friends, how we need to be reminded of this truth of the cross day by day. How we need to be reminded of this truth of his suffering day by day. Not that we may have pity on him, not that we may have sympathy, but that we may be reminded of the depth of our sins. Martin Luther, in his commentary to the Galatians, he writes, great words that deserve an amen. So I'm waiting. Martin Luther says, surely the greatness of the ransom is enough. I will say amen. Surely the greatness of the ransom is enough to show that we can neither atone for our sins nor have dominion over it. We must note the infinite price given for our weaknesses, our wickedness, and then it will be clear that its power is so great that it could not be put away by any means except by the Son of God giving himself for it. Christ died for our sins. The gospel, Christ died for our sins. As some of you will be going to Olivet with us on Saturday, Christ died for our sins. But secondly, the Apostle Paul says, he gave himself to rescue us from this present evil age. That's the second point. He gave himself. He gave us now the reason why Christ had to die on that cross. That he may rescue us, that he may snatch us from the garbage of sin. He died to rescue us from the present evil age. Paul says it was to snatch us as from the jaws of a hungry lion. He speaks of being plucked out. You can think of that man who dived into the water and plucked out that young man of 14 years of age. He speaks of Christ setting his people free from chains. If you want to understand it perfectly, you must think of these Americans, typical Americans. Think of them. Think of an American. He's captured, he's chained, and he's enslaved for very long, not in Iraq, in Vietnam. And there's no one that can make it there to rescue him. They look around. The UN cannot help. Any plan cannot help. The South African army, of course, they cannot help. Now they're thinking, what can we do? But they realize only one man. They need one man, only one man who works alone, who does not need help, who does not need help from the people who is about to save, that they may help him. So they need one man, and America has got one man. Then they call Chuck Norris. Then he comes in. Then he goes into this place. And he gets them out. He set them free. Greater than that, Christ delivered us from this present evil age. Through his death, we are rescued. And what the Apostle Paul then implies is that we are part of this present evil age. We are part of it. We have experienced it, but we are no longer part of it. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 and 8. Look what the Apostle Paul says. Ephesians 5, verse 6 and 8 to 8. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time, you were darkness. At one time, you were darkness. But now, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So what is this present evil age that we are delivered from? Shortly, the Bible speaks of two ages. It speaks of this present evil age, which began at the fall of Adam. It runs down to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of this immoral world in which we live in, the world under the dominion, under the authority and the power of Satan. It speaks of this world where the desires of the flesh is entertained even at the cost of the gospel. A world of crime, a world of child abuse, of drug abuse, of drunkenness, of homosexuality, evolution and abortion. I'm reminded of a story that I was watching on TV one evening. It's a story. It was playing on TV. So these two women, they're walking into a hospital. And they actually holding each other in an unacceptable way. A way that is not actually acceptable, women to women, men to men. So they're holding each other there. And one of the guys inside the hospital, he looks at them and he shook his head. One of the ladies asked him and says, "What are you looking at?" Before you could answer, I said, "Welcome to the 21st century. That is the world that we are living in. That is the world of sin. Sorry, lady, it's not just the problem of 21st century. It runs down from the fall of Adam down to the return of Christ. It's not about 21st century. The sins remains the same." So Paul, he writes plus minus 2,000 years ago. But we can see that he speaks of a world that we live in, saying that we are delivered from it. Saying that Christ came and he died, that we may be delivered from it. Nothing has changed. Presidents do change. Ruling parties do change. People die and other people come into the world and rule the world. Policies change, legislation change, but the world does not change. And those that want to be snatched out of this world, the forecast is that they may look upon Christ, the man upon the tree, the one who gave himself for our sins. That we may also be reminded that we are alive today, that we may cling to him because he delivered us from that present evil age. This world will always be the same. Things can change, but sin will never change. The world shall be consumed by fire. So the Bible, brothers also and sisters, it speaks of another age. It speaks of the age to come, where righteousness reign, where there will be no need for the sun to shine by day and the moon by night, where the righteousness of God rules forever, where the Lord himself is the light, where there will be no sin, not even for a second. And that is very important to us because we are delivered from this present evil age to be seated with Christ already in that age to come. Was it not Christ who prayed? John 17, verse 14. Is it not Christ who prays and says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world." Is it not the Apostle Paul who says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 6, he says, Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So friends, we are delivered from this age of sin, this age of disobedience, age of ignorance, age of rejection of the truth, the age of pride and hypocrisy, but only through Christ. Those who want to be delivered, they can only come through Christ. For He is the only way, the truth, and the life. That is what Apostle Paul is reminding these people before he starts to rebuke them of the things that they were doing in that church. There's so much that was continuing in the church that is not pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. But he draws them back to Christ and says, first, look what Christ has done for you. Why are you doing? How could you continue to do such things? Why you continue to accept people to come and lie to you? You are delivered. He plucked us out. This is not something that you do for yourself. This is not something that you can accomplish. It's not some kind of work that you do to help Christ or that you do for yourself. And Paul wants to leave them with a question. Maybe the same question that I would like, maybe to keep it so that you may keep it in your own hearts. Since you are delivered from this present evil age, why will you conform to the standard of the world? Why will you not introspect your life? Why will you not examine yourself and see that you are still in the faith? Why will you not consider the cross as beautiful as it is any longer? Why is the standard of your life is not Christ-centered anymore? Why will you still be married in this world? Why will you not flee from the wrath to come? Before you sink, before you drown, come to the master of the sea. He can hear your despairing cry and he can lift you up from the sea safely. Then you can sing with me and the other brethren and say, oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, all the grace that brought me to his flock, wondrous grace that brought me to his flock. That is the aim of the apostle, for that is what we must be reminded of as we think of the cross and the work of the cross that Christ did for us, that he came down to die at the cross, that we may be delivered from this present evil age. Christ came and he died. Deadly. Apostle Paul says, Christ gave himself according to the will of God. In the same verse, it was according to the will of God. Not according to us asking, Lord, do something. But it was the will of God that Christ came. So it tells us that the death of Christ was not an accident. The death of Christ was not an example. The death of Christ was not a mistake. It was not planned by Pilate. It was not planned by Caiaphas. It was not planned by the Sanhedrin. It was not planned by Annas. It was according to the will of God. So the Apostle Paul, he reminds the church that it was God who put Christ on that tree. Oh, Galatians, that you may begin to thank God for Christ, that you may begin to praise the Lord for such a sacrifice of Christ, that you may sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Oh, Galatians, that you may remember the God who thought of you before you could think of him, the God who thought of you before you were born. Now that your names are engraved in his heart, now that your names are written upon his wounds, that you may remember that God as we take our breath and we live in this each and every second of this life. Christ died for our sins according to the will of God. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 15, actually it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 4, he says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, and he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scripture. Listen to the Apostle Peter, what he says himself. Apostle Peter, chapter number 1 of the first letter, verse number 18 to 20. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the earth, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake. Peter also says, as he stands and he's preaching to those people in that day where they were gathering in the upper room, Peter stands up and he says in verse 23 of chapter 2, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. So our salvation is planned. It was planned by God, planned beforehand. My friend Bax told me and taught me a language. He says a language from heaven. And I learned it. So when I say this was planned before, Bax will say, "Die goed is beplan." Beforehand, God knew what he was doing. It's not by chance that you are saved. Listen to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, words that you are familiar with. "And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief." God. It was according to the foreknowledge and the will of God. Why? Love, grace, and mercy. That's why the Apostle Paul, before verse number 4, he says, "Grace and peace is from God and the Father. You are saved by grace that you may not boast." So, friends, even in this present evil age, there is a Christ who died. There's a Christ who still saves. There's a Christ who calls and says, "Come to me, you who are heavy laden, that you may have rest, the rest of your souls." He says in the Gospel of John, on that last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone is thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whosoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So also in this present evil age, there's a Christ in which Paul wants us to focus to. There's a Christ in which Paul wants us to lift our eyes up to, our hearts up to, that we may behold his wounds, that we may behold his hands, his feet, and his side. So I can confidently say, my friends, Christ came into this world and he died, but he did not die to rescue you from a famine. He did not die to rescue you from natural disaster and to make you rich. He may, and he does always rescue his people from things like this, famine and natural disaster. But that was not the purpose. The purpose is that we may be set free from the present evil age. That we may not be the children of disobedience. That we may be that man of Psalm chapter number 1, the blessed man. That our focus may be unto Christ. That we may be remembering each and every day that is a man who sacrificed himself at the cross for our sins. So our cry, the words that should be in our mouth each and every day, is the tip of our tongue. "Deliver me, O God, from the present evil age. Or that you may pluck me out from this fallen world. Or that you may preserve me to the end according to your promise. Or that your salvation may be sweet as honey forever in my mouth. All the sins I could not pay, all the death that I could not die, all the love and the mercy that I did not deserve. And I can no longer now walk in the counsel of the wicked. Christ died. I can no longer stand in the ways of sinners, nor sit in the seat with the scoffers, because he came and he plucked me out of this present evil age. Though they are in the world, but they are not of the world." So our conduct in our lives must be lived out as the children of God. Those that have received grace and find favor. Are your sins forgiven? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because if Christ came and he died for me, then I cannot allow my friends at school to influence me to do evil. I cannot allow my friends at school to influence me not to respect my parents. I cannot conform anymore to the standard of this world. I cannot desert the gospel. I cannot run away from the truth anymore. I cannot embrace false teachers, whether they are my friends or they are part of my family. But I cannot embrace. For Christ died for me and he set me free from this. Are you set free? If I'm set free, I will not abuse my Christian liberty. People abuse their Christian liberty. But if you are set free, you will not abuse your Christian liberty. Let us not. That is the cry of the Apostle Paul. If you continue with Galatians, you look at chapter number 5. The first verse, it tells them, Christ has set you free. Why will you continue in these things? He saved us. So friends, before you get tired of me, let me tell you, this present evil age should not fool us. Crime can decline. Corruption can decrease. In other words, one day we can vote and the NC can lose. But that doesn't mean things have changed. All these things can decline. The counterfeit peace and counterfeit reconciliation can be made by men. Lives can improve for better. People can be morally good to one another in a level. But it doesn't change the fact that we are in the present evil age. It doesn't mean that sin will change, but sin will escalate. Christ will always be rejected. We are in the present evil age, and what is needed is Christ. What is needed is the blood of Christ, the one who hanged the tree for our sins, not the one who brings down the branch. That is a type of a gospel, the one who brings the branch that you may climb up. Christ hanged the tree that he may save you, not that you may climb up and save yourself. We are in the present evil age. Christ is the answer. The question that I have, do you identify with the man who gave himself for your sins? Do you identify with such a great deliverer? Do you identify with such a great redeemer? Will you sing joyfully with the congregation of God, redeemed? How I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. May the good Lord bless us as we think of these things, as we prepare our heart to share the gospel. It was just a reminder. These are the things that we know, that we may not shift from the focus, that Christ died for us. It is easy to forget these things and live our lives and reject the truth and stay away from the community of believers. But if you can remember that there is a man upon the cross who died for our sins, that we may be saved. And we are forever alive now because of Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Our good God, we are thankful this evening for this short time that you have borrowed us, that we may hear from your word as it is preached and proclaimed, read. Oh Lord, help us to remember the man upon the cross. Help us to remember, oh God, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world and died the cross for our sins, that we may be delivered. Oh Heavenly Lord, we pray this evening in the wonderful name of Christ that you may live and keep your word in the hearts of your people, that those who have not come to Christ, that they may also remember that Christ says, repent and turn away from your sins, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And those that are still saved and they continue in salvation, that they may remember, oh God, that Christ says to the Jews who believed in him, abide, if you abide in my words, you are indeed my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Help us, our God, in Jesus' name. We all say amen. Thank you.